Sukaj, Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th Canto, Chapter 2, entitled Hiranyakashipu, King of the Demons. We'll continue our discussion with text number 11. Please repeat. Vishnu, Dvija, Kriyamulaha, Yajñah, Dhanamamayah, Poman, Devarshi, Pitri, Bhutanam, Dhanamasya, Parayanam, Vishnu Dvija Kriyamulo, Yajno Dharmamaya Puman, Devarshi Pitri Bhutanam, Dhanamasya Cha Parayanam, Vishnu Dvija Kriyamulo, Yajno Dharmamaya Puman, Devarshi Pitri Bhutanam, Dhanamasya Cha Parayanam, Vishnu Dvija Kriyamulo, Yajno Dharmamaya Puman, Devarshi Pitri Bhutanam, Dhanamasya Cha Parayanam,
Vishnu Dvija Kriyamulo,
Yajno Dharmamaya Puman,
Devarshi Pitri Bhutanam,
Dharmasya Cha Parayanam,
Vishnu Dvija Kriyamulo,
Yajno Dharmamaya Puman,
Devarshi Pitri Bhutanam,
Dharmasya Cha Parayanam,
Vishnu Dvija Kriyamulo,
Vishnu Dvija Kriyamulo,
Yajno Dharmamaya Puman,
Yajno Dharmamaya Puman,
Devarshi Pitri Bhutanam,
Devarshi Pitri Bhutanam,
Dharmasya Cha Parayanam,
Dharmasya Cha Parayanam.
Ladies,
Vishnu
Dvija Kriyamulo,
Yajno
Dharmamaya Puman,
Devarshi Pitri Bhutanam,
Dharmasya Cha Parayanam,
Vishnu
Dvija Kriyamulo,
Yajno Dharmamaya Puman,
Devarshi Pitri Bhutanam,
Dharmasya Cha Parayanam,
Vishnu,
Vishnu,
Lord Vishnu,
Lord Vishnu,
the Supreme Personality of Godhead,
the Supreme Personality of Godhead,
Dvija,
Dvija,
of the Brahmanas and Kshatriyas,
of the Brahmanas and Kshatriyas,
Kriyamulaham,
Kriyamulaha,
whose root is the performance,
whose root is the performance,
of Yajna,
of Yajna,
and the ritualistic ceremonies mentioned in the Vedas.
And the ritualistic ceremonies mentioned in the Vedas.
Yajna,
Yajna,
personified Yajna,
personified Yajna,
Lord Vishnu,
Lord Vishnu,
who is known as the Yajna Purusha,
who is known as the Yajna Purusha,
Dharmamaya,
Dharmamaya,
full of religious principles,
full of religious principles,
Poman,
Poman,
the Supreme Person,
the Supreme Person,
Devarshi,
Devarshi,
of the demigods,
of the demigods,
and great rishis,
and great rishis,
Like Vyasdeva and Narada.
Like Vyasdeva and Narada.
Pitre
of the forefathers.
Bhutanam.
And of all other living entities.
Dharamasya.
Of the religious principles.
Cha.
Also.
Parayanam.
The shelter.
Translation. The basic principle of Brahminical culture is to satisfy Lord Vishnu. The personification of sacrificial and ritualistic ceremonies. Lord Vishnu is the personified reservoir of all religious principles, and he is the shelter of all the demigods, the great pithas, and the people in general. When the brahmanas are killed, no one will exist to encourage the kshatriyas to perform yajnas. And thus, the demigods, not being appeased by yajna, will automatically die. Please repeat. The basic principle, of Brahminical culture, is to satisfy Lord Vishnu.
The personification
of sacrificial and ritualistic ceremonies.
Lord Vishnu
is the personified reservoir
of all religious principles.
And he is the shelter of all the demigods,
the great pithas,
and the people in general.
When the brahmanas are killed,
no one will exist
to encourage the kshatriyas
to perform yajnas.
And thus the demigods,
not being appeased by yajna,
will automatically die.
The basic principle of Brahminical culture is to satisfy Lord Vishnu, the personification of sacrificial and ritualistic ceremonies. Lord Vishnu is the personified reservoir of all religious principles, and he is the shelter of all the demigods, the great pithas, and the people in general. When the brahmanas are killed, no one will exist to encourage the kshatriyas to perform yajnas, and thus the demigods, not being appeased by yajna, will automatically die. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Since Lord Vishnu is the central point of Brahminical culture, Hiranyakashipu's plan was to kill Vishnu. For if Vishnu were killed, naturally the Brahminical culture would also be lost. With Brahminical culture lost, yajna would no longer be performed. And for want of yajna, the regular distribution of rainfall would cease. Yajnat bhavati parjanyaha. Thus there would be disturbances all over the world, and naturally the demigods would be defeated. From this verse, we get a clear indication of how human society is disturbed when the Vedic Aryan civilization is killed and the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies performed by the Brahmanas are stopped. Kalao Shudra Sambhava. Because the population of the modern world consists mostly of Shudras, the Brahminical culture is now lost and is extremely difficult to re-establish in a proper way. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya has recommended the chanting of the holy name of the Lord, which will revive Brahminical culture very easily. Harirnama eva kevalam. Kalau nasyeva, nasyeva, nasyeva gatiranyatha. Because of the increment in demoniac population, people have lost Brahminical culture. Nor is there a Kshatriya government. Instead, the government is a democracy in which any Shudra can be voted into taking up the governmental reins and capture the power to rule. Because of the poisonous effects of Kali Yuga, the Shastra, Bhagavatam 12:2-13, says, Dasyu Prayeshu Rajasu. The government will adopt the policies of Dasyus, or plunderers. There will be no instructions from the Brahmanas. And even if there are Brahminical instructions, there will be no Kshatriya rulers who can follow them. Aside from Satya Yuga, even formerly, in the days when demons were flourishing, Hiranyakashipu planned to destroy the Brahminical culture and the Kshatriya government, and thus create chaos all over the world. Although in Satya Yuga this plan was very difficult to execute, in Kali Yuga, which is full of Shudras and demons, the Brahminical culture is lost and can be revived only by the chanting of the Maha Mantra. Therefore, the Krishna consciousness movement, or the Hare Krishna movement, has been inaugurated to revive Brahminical culture very easily, so that people may become happy and peaceful in this life and prepare for elevation in the next. In this regard, Srila Madhvacharya quotes this verse from Brahmanda Purana. Vipra yajnyadi mulam tu harir ityasuram matam harir eva hi sarvasya mulam samyan mato nrata. O king, the kings think that Hari, Lord Vishnu, exists because of the Brahmins and yajna. But factually, Hari is the cause of everything, including the Brahmanas and yajna. Therefore, through the popularization of Hari Kirtan, or the Sankirtana movement, the Brahminical culture and Kshatriya government will automatically come back, and people will be extremely happy. Om Ajnana Timirantasya Jnanam Chinna Shalakaya Chakshurun Malitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guroho Shri Yutapada Kamalam, Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha, Shri Rupam Sagrajatam, Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam, Sadvaitam Savadhutam, Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam, Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita, Shri Vishakam Vitanscha, He Krishna Karuna Sindho, Dina Bandho Jagatpate, Gopesha Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta Namostute, Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi, Radhe Vrindavaneshwari, Vrishabhanu Sute Devi, Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindhubhyaiva cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। विष्णु द्विचक्रियामूलो यज्ञो धर्ममयः पुमान् देवर्षि पितृभूतानां धर्मस्य च परायणम्। Hiranyakashipu believes that the root of Lord Vishnu is the activities of the brahmanas and the yajnas. And in a sense, you can say that this is true. Because Lord Vishnu is the personification of those very yajnas. So not only are these things the root of Lord Vishnu, but they are Lord Vishnu himself. So really, they are the root of Lord Vishnu as far as we are concerned. This is the point. If we are not in touch with these activities, then we're not in touch with Lord Vishnu also. Yajna dharma maya poman. This is the idea that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Yajna, or Yajna Purusha, Lord Vishnu, he is dharma maya. He is the embodiment of all dharma. It's an interesting question. Are we able to contact Lord Vishnu without dharma? Because if Lord Vishnu is the embodiment of dharma, or I should say, if Lord Vishnu is the root of dharma, then yathātarodamūlanishechenena tripyanti tatskandabhujo pashākha. You should be able to water the root and not have to worry about the leaves and branches, right? That makes sense. Therefore, the question arises, why did Srila Prabhupada put so much emphasis on these things? I'm not sure I can answer this question, but there, at least we can consider some aspects to it. Srila Prabhupada, when he first began preaching in the West in 1965, from 65 until 1970, or soon thereafter, he did not really emphasize the principles of Varnashram Dharma that much. Of course, it's in the Bhagavatam, so he definitely mentioned it. But practically speaking, Srila Prabhupada gave most of his instructions on this topic within the last few years that he was with us, especially from 1974 onwards. Jai Shishi Gauri Thao Ki Jai. There's a famous morning walk conversation in Mayapur on February 14th, 1977, in which Srila Prabhupada is talking to some of his disciples. In those days, most of Srila Prabhupada's disciples were Western. And it's quite clear, if you're listening to the recording at least, maybe not in two dimensions on paper, but in the recording it's quite clear that Srila Prabhupada's disciples, and these are leading disciples, very prominent disciples, they're actually arguing with him about the necessity of Varnashram Dharma. And Srila Prabhupada is very strongly, I mean, he's not moving. He's not compromising. And he has some very strong arguments. For example, someone may say that in the Chaitanya Charitamritam, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was speaking with Ramananda Rai, he asked Ramananda Rai, what is the supreme attainment? And you know the first thing that Ramananda Rai said? He said, Varnashrama Charavata Purushena Parapuman. This is famous verse from Vishnu Purana. Actually, I'll just digress a little bit on this point because it's an interesting one. In the Vishnu Purana, Maharaj Sagar He's in the family of Lord Ramchandra. He came to his guru and he asked his guru, I'm a king. I'm responsible for all these prajas. And I understand that pure devotional service is the supreme goal of life. His question was, how do I bring ordinary people from their conditional state of consciousness to the platform of pure devotional service? This was his concern. This is also the concern of every member of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, or at least it should be, because that's our mission. So, Ardava Muni, the guru of Sagar Maharaj, he answered this question in several chapters of the Vishnu Purana, and in that passage, this verse appears, which is the essence of his answer. Varna shrama charavata purushena parapuman Vishnur aradhyate pumsam nanyat tatto shikaranam. The second half of the verse is particularly interesting. He says, the only way to worship Lord Vishnu, the only access, we can say, for ordinary people is through the performance of varna and ashrama dharma. And Vishnur aradhyate pumsam, people actually worship Lord Vishnu by this performance. We've already identified Lord Vishnu with the what Sridhar Swami calls in his commentary on this verse, Dvijanam Kriyanushtana Mulam. Anushtana. We all know that. Do you have this word in Tamil? Anushtana? So you know what is the meaning of Anushtana. Traditional culture, we can say. Activities that form our culture. Nitya Kriyas is another word for it. Niyatam Karnama is another word for it. Sad Achara is another word for it. Shishtachara is another word for it. So, Dvijanam, particularly that which is taught by the Brahmins and practiced by the Brahmins. That thing is very important. So, Vishnur Aradhyate Pungsam Nanyat Tattosha Karanam. Why does he say that you cannot please Vishnu by any other means? What about Harinam? For ordinary people, they don't have access to this high process of bhakti, very high process of bhakti. And even ourselves, to some degree, although we're engaged, as I said the other day, in probate devotional service. You all understand this term, probate? When you are a criminal, but you're not a repeat offender, so to speak. You've not been caught and punished many times. Especially if you commit some misdemeanor, small crime, then they put you on probation, which means you're being watched, you're being monitored. They're not going to throw you into prison just now, but they're going to watch you and make sure that you stay okay. That's called probation. And anything that happens within that probationary period is probate. So probate bhakti means that we are criminals, actually. We have offended the Supreme Lord. We have been thrown into this prison, but because we're trying to behave ourselves now, we're on probation. And the bhakti that we perform in that stage of consciousness is actually, it's a probationary bhakti. It's not really bhakti. Well, I should not say that. It is really bhakti. But it's only real bhakti because we have a sponsor for our soul. Yasya prasada bhagavat prasada. If we act under the instructions of the spiritual master very faithfully and diligently, then he becomes pleased. And when the spiritual master is pleased, then our service is acceptable even to the Supreme Lord. Otherwise, there's no access. For ordinary people, their only access is Varnashram Dharma. For those of us who aspire for bhakti, we have a greater position, actually, because we have the sponsorship of a bona fide spiritual master who can accept even our attempts at rendering devotional service. So So nanyatattva is a karanam. For ordinary people, there's no other way to please Lord Vishnu. Even for us also, why did Srila Prabhupada increasingly, very urgently, and repeatedly push this program of Varnashram Dharma in ISKCON? This is another question that's interesting. One of my godbrothers, his name is Sureshwara Prabhu, in the late, well, maybe 1980s, sometime in the 1980s, I believe it was, he compiled a book of all of Srila Prabhupada's quotes on the topic of Varnashram Dharma, he and another devotee. So he told me that when they entered into this project, they were working on the assumption that Varnashram Dharma is something that ISKCON should teach to outside people so that they can come to Krishna consciousness more easily, especially in the Western world, because people are very sinful by default there. I shouldn't say Western world, I should say modern world. Modern world means Western world, and Western world means modern world, and according to Manu, modern means Maya. The old thing is what should be done, because the old thing is the eternal thing, the sustainable thing. So they were thinking like this, that we can teach Varnashram to people who can't surrender to Krishna without even questioning whether or not they themselves were fully surrendered to Krishna. It was assumed that they were fully surrendered to Krishna and that we have to teach something else to outside people. So he told me that as we compiled these quotes for this book, we came to this stunning realization that actually most of these quotes that we're compiling into this book, they're aimed squarely at the initiated membership of ISKCON and regarding the implementation of Varnashram Dharma within ISKCON. So, let's go back to that conversation that I mentioned on February 14th, 1977. Srila Prabhupada's disciples were arguing, well, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, when Ramananda Rai suggested that Varnashram is the ultimate goal of life, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected it. Is this true? Who has an answer? Is it true? Did Ramananda Rai or did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu reject this proposal? People generally believe this. If you look at the Bengali very closely, eto bahir, that's what he says. This thing is external. He doesn't say it's eto visarjya, to be thrown out. No, he's just external. But many things that we do in Krishna consciousness are also external, correct? Saying achman is external. To say achman. Right? To eat is external. To raise a family is external. We are engaged in practical, physical activities in this world. How are you going to purify those? So that something is external doesn't mean that it's rejected in toto. That means absolutely rejected. This is the Mayavada approach, in fact, because the Mayavadis say that the eye has a cataract. How do they solve that problem? They remove the eye altogether. So Varnashram is external. How would a simple person, maybe even we can say a tamasic person, how would he solve that problem? Just kick it out, get rid of it altogether. But that does not harmonize, or that does not, it doesn't really accommodate the fact that Srila Prabhupada was very diligently urging ISKCON members to implement Varnashram within ISKCON. And where did Srila Prabhupada get it from? He got it from his own spiritual master. And where does his spiritual master get it from? He got it from his father, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So in fact, for the last 100 years of our sampradaya, the acharyas have been pushing on this point. It's not a new thing. So, in this conversation, they're saying things like this, that the Varnashram is an external thing and we're above that. And Prabhupada immediately silenced them. He says, then why are they falling down? Srila Prabhupada saw, particularly in the later years, he became increasingly strict with his disciples. And it was a great concern to him. He saw that the sannyasis were not able to follow their vows. They went away in humiliation. Even the householders, he saw, that they were also not able to live a clean life, so to speak. What is a clean life called in the Upadeshamritam? Satovrittehe. The engagements or the occupation of pure people, sat. Satovrittehe. This is the thing that Rupa Goswami says we have to follow if we want to assure the complete success of pure devotional service. And that resonates very strongly with what Krishna says in the end of chapter 7 of Bhagavad Gita, Yesham tvantagatam papam jananam punyakarmanam te dvandvamohanirmukta bhajante mam vrthavrtaha. Those people who have eradicated the reactions of previous sins and are presently also engaged in punya karma. What does punya karma mean? Only dharma. It means nothing but dvijanam kriyanushtana, which here is figuratively considered to be the root of Lord Vishnu, at least in Hiranyakashipu's mind. Without doing that, we see, practically we see, and Krishna admits even, Kali Yuga aside, ISKCON aside, Krishna himself says in Bhagavad Gita that most of those people who take up pure devotional service, they do not last. What are the figures? Who knows? A very famous verse. Manushyanam sahasreshu means thousands, plural, thousands. Among many thousands of people, one may try for bhakti. And yatatamapi, even for those people who are trying for bhakti, what does it say? Yatatamapi siddhanam kashinmam vedi tatataha. Hardly one person, Krishna says, really, really gets it. So Srila Prabhupada asked this question, why are they falling down? Because varnashram dharma, what do I want to say? It regulates our mind and it regulates our activities. How? It regulates our minds and our bodies by controlling every waking moment of our life. Actually, if you look at the Dharma Shastra, there is an injunction for virtually everything you do from the time that you wake up in the morning until the time you go to sleep. And it also includes the way that you go to sleep. You see? The way that you eat, the way that you sleep, the way that you mate, and the way that you defend. Because it's meant to turn an animal into a human being. Or a human being, rather, into a refined human being. That's, therefore, we said the other day, samskaratu samskriti syat. From samskara, we get samskriti. And both words mean refinement. Just like we have language. In language, we have two kinds of language. What are they? There's the Sanskrita language, and then there's a Prakrita language. Prakrita language means you've got a garden, and you never water anything, you never cut the grass, you never plant anything, you never weed anything. It's just a big mess. Wild. That is called Prakrita, the wild, untamed state. And this is what we're born with. Even as human beings, we have residue. Samskar also means the mental residue from so many lifetimes past. Samskar means, just like when we print a book, what does we say samskarana? Do you say this in Tamil? Samskarana, to print a book? I don't think so. Anyway, in Hindi, they've adopted this Sanskrit word. Printing a book, stamp, samskarana. So that's what activity does within our psychology. It leaves a mark. It leaves a stamp. And we have to deal with that. Even though we're human beings, biologically, at least, we have to purify ourselves. That's called samskara also. And therefore we have how many samskaras? 12, 13, depending. Different people have different numbers. We have to follow these things. They are part of nitya kriya. They're part of kriyanushthana, nainitika. There are two kinds. One you do every day, one you do once in a while. So the samskaras you do only from time to time. These things are very important. So without doing that, we cannot sustain a mature commitment to pure devotional service. This is Krishna's point in chapter 7, text number 28 of Bhagavad Gita. And this would seem to be Srila Prabhupada's concern in later years that he was managing the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. He used to talk increasingly about a Varnashram college in order to train people in their respective dharmas. Why respective? What does that mean? Everybody has a different dharma to perform. Swaya swaya adhikare ya nishtha sa guna parikirtata. In the 11th canto, he tells Uddhava, everybody has his own adhikar. Adhikar means, the best word in English that I've seen is prerogative. Prerogative. It's something that you are able to do, but it's also something that you're allowed to do. You're allowed to do it because you're able to do it. This is the point. Adhikara. So, sve sve, adhikare yanishtha, that person who stays, each and every person should be in his own position, not in another's position. This is something Krishna tells us twice in Bhagavad Gita. So, if we do this, then we become purified. And if we neglect this, then we become sinful. Because, as we heard from Arjuna in the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, somebody who, I've heard that those who neglect, what does he say? Kula dharma sanatanaha, the eternal dharma of your family. And that, he's not talking paro dharma there. He's talking about kula dharma. This thing is also eternal. And he said, I've heard from authorities, iti shushrama, that those who neglect these things, they go to hell. So, to neglect your prescribed duty is a sinful activity in itself. It's not just to take liquor, to eat non-vegetarian foods, promiscuity, gambling, these things. Actually, it means to neglect dharma. Therefore, he says, nanyat tattosha karanam. We ourselves also have to purify the mind and the body. In chapter 16 deals with what topic?
Demoniac.
Divine and mainly demoniac nature. Is that a coincidence? Why the 2-3 verses on the divine qualities and the rest of the chapter on demoniac qualities? Think about it. The mother-in-law teaches the daughter-in-law by teaching the daughter. It's not just for Arjuna. It's for us. So Krishna talks about the divine qualities, and the first thing that he says, of course, is abhaya. And what's the second thing that he lists among the divine qualities? Anybody know? Sattva samshuddhi. What does sattva samshuddhi mean? Huh? Sattva samshuddhi. It's an English phrase that we hear quite often throughout Srila Prabhupada's books. Sattva samshuddhi. Can you imagine? No? Good guess. Purification of one's existence. Sattva. The word sattva doesn't mean sattva guna. Sattva also means existence. Sattva, beingness, you can say, or existence. So, how do we purify our existence in this material world? I've mentioned already, everybody eats, even the sannyasis eat. Everybody sleeps. Maybe there's a sannyasi somewhere who doesn't sleep. Most people mate, and most people defend. How do we purify these things? That is through samskara. That is through... What does it say here? Advija kriya mula. So these... Dvarnasham dharma. Oh, sadachara. Sadhanara dharma. There are different kinds of dharma. Sadhanara dharma means ordinary dharma. Sadachara, you can say. There's apad dharma, which kicks in when there's an emergency situation. And then everybody has his own swadharma. And then finally there's parodharma, which is the ultimate goal of all these things. That we should never ever forget. What happens? What happens when you're very fixed in every kind of dharma under the sun, but not parodharma? What happens then? Hinduism. Then you get the caste system. And we all know how exploitive that can be, especially here in Tamil Nadu, it's famous. So, without Krishna, actually there's a nice, without Krishna you cannot have pure motivations. Without love. Actually, it's a very interesting point, this. I was reading in one of the commentaries on the Purva Mimamsa Sutras of Jaimini Rishi, which is a Dharma Sutra. He actually says that Dharma is only love. That's all. Without saying it so explicitly, he's admitting that this thing is all about love. And who are we loving? Vishnu. Vishnu. Yajnyo Dharma Mayak Puman. The Supreme Personality of Godhead. And not just even Vishnu, but particularly we are fond of Krishna. He's the Supreme Vishnu. So, we have to purify our mundane existence. We have to purify our minds, our bodies, and our activities. And when you have everyone performing activities that purify them spiritually and culturally, then that becomes a very exemplary society, because everyone else knows what to do. As we were hearing from Bhaktivikas Swami two, three days ago regarding Ram Lila, Ram's activities are only meant to instruct us what is the ideal adarsha of human society. And this is a very important point, because Krishna also mentions yad yad acharati shreshthas tat tat eve tarojanaha sa yat pramanam kurate sa yat pramanam kurate lokas tat anavartate. All you have to do is dress like a Vaishnava, put on tilak, chant Hare Krishna, and people will look to you for the, what is the adarsh? What is the example that they should follow? A very, very important point. If we are not sure how to celebrate the next festival, what do we do? Do we consult Srila Prabhupada's books? Not usually. Usually we call up the next temple and ask them. That means the social influence is always much stronger than the scriptural influence in human society. It is human nature, it is psychology. So you have to purify the social body. That is also sattva samshuddhi, because it doesn't mention whose sattva we're talking about. It's the individual sattva, it is the social sattva as well. So sattva samshuddhi is one of the very, very important points that Krishna mentions as a divine quality. And you can study the rest, and you should also study the rest of that chapter, because it's very instructive, particularly at the end. What does he say? Yashastra vitamutsridya vartate kamakarata ityadi. You know the verse. We've mentioned it already. If we don't do this thing, then how can you expect to be happy? Therefore, Srila Prabhupada called democracy. He's knocking democracy in his purport here. What does he say? Is it this purport? Maybe I was reading something else. I read so many things. Anyway, the idea is that democracy doesn't really work, because, first of all, there is no democracy. It's a myth. everybody's cheating, and the stronger exploit the weaker everywhere, anywhere, always. But when you have the ideology of democracy, people get confused by this pseudo-egalitarian ideal, the idea that we're all equal. That appeals to us, because spiritually we are all equal. But when you try to artificially impose that on human society, wherein people's karma is definitely not equal, then it creates so many problems. And that's why Prabhupada called democracy demon crazy. Instead of democracy, he calls it demon crazy. One day Srila Prabhupada also turned to his servant and he said, pandemonium. Pandemonium. What does pandemonium mean? The translators know this?
Disaster?
It means, you know, chaos. But actually Prabhupada gave the etymological definition we mentioned yesterday. You have two ways to define words, conventionally or grammatically. So, according to the grammar, pandemonium, Srila Prabhupada said, means demons everywhere. Pandemonium. Demons everywhere. You see? Even Western society used to be theistic at some point. That's why we have such words in English. There are a few good words in English. That's one of them. So, pandemonium. How can you be happy when everybody around you is a demon? Everybody around you thinks that I'm the center of everything. How can anyone be happy? It creates chaos. Now, final point, and then we'll end. Srila Prabhupada mentions here in his purport a couple of times, actually, that the International Society for Krishna Consciousness is meant, is established, to reestablish Brahminical culture. That's one of the purposes. It's not the main purpose. The main purpose is to spread Harinam Sankirtan and love of God. But definitely as a part and parcel of that is to reestablish Brahminical culture. Now, elsewhere in the purport, Srila Prabhupada also writes that this is the way to do this very easily. If people chant Hare Krishna, that we've already mentioned, as soon as you remove Krishna as your primary motivating force within the Varnashram system or Brahminical society, and instantly you are converted into the caste system because you have to do things for yourself instead. And that just opens the door to every sort of exploitation. So this is absolutely the essence. And he says, that he gives us a very plain formula. How do we do this? Through Harinama. Harinama eva kevala. Thrice it's written. Now, Prabhupada, another thing that he also notes in his purport is that Brahminical culture is now virtually lost, and it is extremely difficult to re-establish it. Have you noticed this? Even in ourselves, it's very... I'm not even Indian, but it's extremely difficult. Indian and Western, this is another very interesting point. One of my godbrothers who lives in London, his name is Smara Hariprabhu. You can talk to him about it one day, and he'll confirm that he was in the Kumbh Mela with Srila Prabhupada in January of 1977, a month before Srila Prabhupada argued with his disciples about the importance of Varnashram Dharma. And he noticed that there was one Western devotee did something that was nonsense. So one of the Western devotees. And Prabhupada chastised him for it. Then, the next day, by divine arrangement, Srila Prabhupada saw one of his Indian devotees do the same exact thing. And Srila Prabhupada also chastised him. But Smara Hari told me that he was struck by the severity of Srila Prabhupada's chastisement for the Indian disciple. Because Srila Prabhupada's logic was that this person should know better. Now it's 2017, we can argue maybe it's a different situation, I won't go there. But in 1977, Srila Prabhupada, I also saw. This was a different country in 1977. How many of you were born yet? It was a different country. People, anyone, even in North India, people still have some sense of what is Dharma and who is Krishna. And you know, they've heard of Bhagavatam. They were not asking, whose father is Lord, is Sita? Prabhupada made this joke. People are so ignorant now, they say, whose father is Sita? So Srila Prabhupada just railed on this person mercilessly, just really, really got heavy on him because he was an Indian. So that means that the Adhikar is different, or at least it should be different. Those who are traditional Indians, at least, they have a higher responsibility in exactly the same way that those who are Brahmanas, they're given more respect, but they also have a higher responsibility to the society in general. They have to be so careful. Whatever they do, people are going to take it as a praman. Pramana. Sayat pramanam kurate. They make it into a pramana just by acting. You see? So, it's very difficult to reestablish this culture, Prabhupada says, in the Kali Yuga. They're extremely difficult, he says. And I mean, we can say this, that you may have seen this. It takes only one generation of neglect and you wipe out thousands of years of cumulative culture, wisdom, discipline, knowledge, even so many things, you see. Just one generation and it might as well have never existed because the next guy has no idea. Whose father is Sita? They ask these questions. So do not let this die. You have to keep it alive. It is the instruction of Srila Prabhupada. And this is Nitya Kriya, also implies that it has to be done eternally. Sanatana Dharma means it's going on forever. It's not that in Kali Yuga it loses its relevance. We may not be able to do everything. That's another matter, which can be accommodated. But this thing is forever, and it has to be manifest in human society, and it has to be manifest by those who are the most responsible members of the society. They are called the dvijas. Therefore, Sridhar Swami says, dvijanam kriyanushthana mulam yasyasa vishnuriti. Now, he raises a very interesting question. Nanu taihi kima paradham tatraha. Somebody may ask, well, why does Hiranyakashipu want to kill all these Brahmins? Well, they didn't do anything wrong. What's their offense? And so he answers, Tatraha Vishnuriti. Vishnu is the essence of this thing. Those persons who are doing the yajna, those persons who are doing the, what are the things mentioned we had yesterday? Yajna, dana, tapa, swadhyaya, charity, all these things. These people, they manifest Vishnu in human society. And persons who do not want these things in human society, the real reason is that they do not want Vishnu, because Vishnu is the root of all these things. You can't have one without the other. If you say that A equals B, and B equals C, then that means that A equals C. You see? This is logic. Okay. But we've seen also, Bhagavatam also tells us, that just after some few years, and maybe 20 or 30 years is in the eternal scope of things, it's only a few years, we've seen that those who are chanting this Maha Mantra seriously, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, they actually become elevated. They become samskrita, refined human beings, even if they come from the worst of the backgrounds. And where does Bhagavatam say this? Who knows, a verse. Where does Bhagavatam say? Yes, Kirata Huna Antra. Antras are mentioned. Kirata Huna Antra Pulinda Pulkasha Abhira Shumbha, Yavana, Khasadayaha, Khasa means the Chinese. These people, Bhagavatam says, ye anye cha papayad apashrayashrayaha, other people who have taken shelter of sinful activities. This is a point that is made here. Devadinam parayanam parama ashrayaha, Sridhar Swami says. The ashraya of the devas and the rishis, this is a karma dharaya samasa here, this devarshi. It doesn't mean the sage among the demigods, it means the sages and the demigods. So the supreme shelter for these people is Vishnu, dharma, yajna. And the supreme shelter for the sinful persons is what? Papa. They take shelter of papa. But those persons also, they can be reformed. How? Shuddhyanti tasmai prabha vishnave namaha. By the power inherent in this chanting. Because this chanting is not different from Vishnu. All of the sarva shaktis, all of the Lord's shaktis, Mahaprabhu tells us, they exist eternally within His holy name. All we have to do is submissively take advantage of this process and we will be purified. Even if we are not 100% submissive, we will still be purified because it is more powerful than anything else in this age. So it's both at the same time. Srila Prabhupada is pushing on Varnashram in order to qualify us to chant the holy name offenselessly. But chanting the holy name is really the only thing that can help us to follow Varnashram. So it's kind of like we say, we are chanting Nama Paratha, but the only solution is to chant anyway, and eventually your Nama Parathas will go away. So therefore Rupa Goswami also says, in addition to Satovritte, he adds some other things. You have to be perseverant, you have to have full faith, you have to be determined, you have to be enthusiastic, you have to keep good association, you have to avoid bad association we discussed yesterday. And in this way, the supreme benediction for all humanity has come in this Kali Yuga by the grace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the form of His holy name. Otherwise we've seen practically this tidal wave of Kali Yuga, like the tsunami. Anybody was on the coast in 2004? You know. That's what it's like. I have to say one more thing about this. This is something that's really struck me. I've spent in recent years more time in South India, and I'm seeing practically the amount of change that we saw North India undergo 500 years ago as a result of Muslim influence and later British influence. We're now seeing the same magnitude of change here in South India, cultural change. And it's not coming through the Mughals or the British, it's coming through the new superpower. I mention this sometimes. Who is the new superpower? The transnational corporate class. Their favorite weapon of choice is media. Telecommunications in particular. Internet, especially. This is Maya's pride and joy. Srila Prabhupada said, television, in those days people watched television. Prabhupada said, television is Maya's pride and joy. She's got you. You see children especially, when they see television, they're just... you cannot pull them away. But we were all like that. These toys, they're very assiduously designed by Maya just to capture us, just to distract us from death. Therefore, one yogi said, think about death several times a day. And you'll be all right. But the last thing they're going to tell you on the internet is, you know, hey, you're going to die. The last thing they're going to tell you. Instead, they'll say, hey, did you hear the latest movie song? You want some pictures from Bollywood actresses? So many nonsense. Anything. Politics. Infinite Maya is there. At the touch of your finger. By Maya's grace. She really knows what she's doing. All right, so be careful of this. You're under siege right now, and it's deliberate. Did I mention this? At the end of the first Gulf War, the U.S. President Bush, first Bush president, he decided that we've got to do something about the Middle East because they're causing us problems. These wars are expensive. So he decided that his strategy was to flood the Middle East with Hollywood input, mass media, popular media, movies, you know, the internet also, these things. This is how you subjugate a population. Sometimes I say this, that, you know, 100 years ago, the British were using Gujarati laborers to take salt out of the sea, and then they would process it somewhat, send it to England, turn it into first-class salt, and then bring it back to Gujarat and sell it to the people who made it. This is what Gandhi was opposed to, famous salt marches he had. You can read history. Actually, the same thing is going on now, is it not? Bangalore. Call centers. Same thing. And the only purpose at any given time is to exploit your resources or to destroy your soul, and your culture would be very helpful. If we can culturally homogenize the entire world, then we've got a prefabricated audience that we can exploit monetarily as well. We can sell. Just like now, if you go in big cities, do you have this KFC in Salem? Yes. Even the name should not be mentioned, but in the Bhagavatam class. But this is coming from America. And one thing you should know about this, you know what they call this in English? Junk food. Sometimes they call it Franken food. Means it's monstrous food. Nobody in America touches this stuff. That's why they had to come to India. They did it with limca. Do you still have limca? It was a soft drink, a generation ago. Italian company, because it was carcinogenic, the Italians kicked them out. So they came to India, and they sell it in India. Because they knew, this is the latest thing from Italy. You see? You're being exploited. This is slavery. And we're so naive that we don't even realize it. Anyway, I don't want to dilate too much on that. We're talking about Hiranyakashipu's plan. Now we're suffering under the plans of little Hiranyakashipu, Chinna Hiranyakashipu, you can say. So the basic principle of Brahminical culture is to satisfy Lord Vishnu, the personification of sacrificial ritualistic ceremonies. He is the reservoir of all religious principles personified. He's the shelter of the demigods, the great forefathers, and people in general. When Brahmins are killed, nobody will be there to help the Kshatriyas guide the people in general. Therefore, demigods, without their yajna, they will all die. This is Hiranyakashipu's plan. And he wants to kill Vishnu. This is how he's going to do it. You go for the tangible manifestation of Vishnu in human society, which is this culture. Yajna, dana, tapa, ityadi, anushtan, here it said. Here. You kill that thing, then Vishnu is as good as dead, because he has no relevance anymore. There is a class in human society who wants Krishna consciousness without its social manifestation, which is to say, they want to follow Srila Prabhupada's teachings on every level except their eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. That's wrong. It's wrong. So you have to be careful of these demoniac ideas. Okay, we've gone over time now. I'll stop here. But if anybody has any questions or comments, we can discuss. Okay. One question from Gaur Bhagavan. That's right. Okay.
We were talking about culture and samskara. So in today's world, how much importance should we give to astrology and vastu and such processes?
Well, this is a good question. There are different opinions. There are different opinions. Generally, Srila Prabhupada was dismissive of astrology. You have to ask why, and you cannot answer that question. So it's a problem. That's why we have different opinions. Let me tell you my own opinion and the reason I hold that opinion. Up until about 2005, I considered myself transcendental to such things because I was chanting Hare Krishna and practicing Krishna consciousness. And, you know, I was considered a senior devotee as well. But the last line, the end of the line in karmic dispensation, we can say, is Shani. So I was in Shani period and suffered tremendously, one major problem after another, including, I mean, just every conceivable problem of the worst sort, the most catastrophic things that you can imagine. So one has to question why, and I found that people didn't really have answers. It's your karma, a general answer, which is not incorrect. You know, but when you don't see any end in sight, if there's no light at the end of the tunnel, so to speak, trying to get out of the cave, then it's exceedingly discouraging. And one of my godbrothers, who is a very noted astrologer, he told me, well, this is very obvious. You're suffering under the effects of Saturn, and it will end at such and such a date. So then that's a little bit encouraging, because otherwise, you know, you may have all sorts of existential doubts. You know, have I never understood Krishna consciousness? What's going on? You see? That's one thing. And then another analogy he gave to explain it with astrology in particular, he said that it's like a road map. If you want to become Krishna conscious in this short window of opportunity that we call human life, then you've got to have a plan. This is what they call, in the professional world, strategic planning. You have to have a plan. They say nobody plans to fail, but many people fail to plan, therefore they fail. So you have to have a strategy. Now the strategy to work with your karma is to know what's coming at you and when. That's a purpose for which astrology is very well suited, if you have the right astrologer, and you have to be discriminating, just like when you choose a guru or a spouse, or any other major decision in life. You have to be discriminate. So it can help you to understand what's happening, and to be informed is to be prepared. You see? So that's an advantage of it. I think Srila Prabhupada was dismissive for a couple of reasons. This is just my opinion. One is that he was dealing with people who are completely new to Krishna consciousness and new to human civilization as well. And he had to be absolutely clear about what is the ultimate goal. Otherwise, you know, the nature of the neophyte is to be distracted by anything and everything. So he was dismissive of astrology in particular, but sometimes he did also listen to astrologers, and throughout his books we will also find quotes in which Srila Prabhupada endorses it for the reasons that I have. So, you know, one common anartha is that people think that an astrologer can change your future. But it's not going to happen. Only Krishna can change your prarabdha karma. That Rupa Goswami says. Krishna in what form? Anybody know the verse from Namashtakam? Hare Namashtakam? In the form of his holy name. Rupa Goswami says, nobody gets over this thing. Prarabdha karma, you cannot change it. It's going to happen. But Krishna in the form of his holy name can change even that. You see? So that's also there. And therefore sometimes we, you know, for the same reasons that Prabhupada discouraged, we also discouraged. But Prabhupada was equivocal about it. That's a fact. And so am I. Does that answer your question? Okay? Vastu, I don't know much about, but I think it's kind of analogous, so similar kinds of things. In life, as I said, the ways that we eat, sleep, mate, and defend, they have to be purified. These activities have to be performed in such a way that we are elevated by them instead of degraded. And all these facilities, such as Vastu and astrology and other things, Ayurveda is one of them, they help us to do that. So it's good in that sense. All right, anything else?
You were speaking about the democracy, there is right in this purpose.
Yeah, I was looking for it.
Instead, the government is a democracy in which any Shudra can be voted in,
yes,
taking up the governmental means and capture the power to rule.
Yeah, that's right. And this is exactly Shudras. You know, generally we say that entertainers are Shudras. And generally we see, especially here in India, but also even in the United States, the entertainers, they become politicians, right? So, and people vote for these people just because they like their movies. And the movie is a complete illusion. The person that is portrayed on the screen has absolutely nothing to do with the real person. You have no idea. But stupid people don't reason like this, and therefore they get cheated time after time after time. You see? So this is, democracy has many, many aspects that are just as bad as this, but this one's enough, and Prabhupada mentions it, so good point. Okay, anything else? Otherwise it's, okay, Mataji in the back.
Hare Krishna. I have a question. The question is, a person born in a so-called Brahmin family, and he becomes a ISKCON devotee, and then should he just chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, or should he do the Niyama Karma?
This is a very good question. There's an excellent book written by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in which he encapsulates these points were troubling Vaishnavas 100 years ago. And he encapsulates all the different opinions and debates about this in a book entitled Brahmana and Vaishnava. His father was invited to a conference in which they invited so many caste Goswamis in Bengal and other devotees as well. And they were discussing this issue, many, many, many aspects of this issue. So there are different, and within the history of the Gaudiya Math also, we know from Bhaktivikas Swami's wonderful book, Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhava, these were also issues for those devotees as well. They're important. Again, here I can give you my opinion. In my opinion, it's probably good to follow these things that you get from your family, because you're not going to get them from ISKCON. But you do have to purify your material life somehow or other. The Shastric paradigm is always superior to a secular one. So why not? Is that satisfactory? On the other hand, we do find in very, very, very advanced devotees on the level of Madhavendra Puri, we find that he's expressing his sentiment that, you know, goodbye my morning bath, I don't need you anymore. I'm fully absorbed in Krishna, and there's no need for this kind of ritual any longer. You see? He mentions a few of Sri Sandhya Vandanam as well as another one. You see? But we have to be honest with ourselves, and we have to be realistic with our strategy as to how we're going to become Krishna conscious in this life. And we have to do the needful. In most cases, it's necessary to do these things that we have to recognize. Most people are not on the platform of advancement that Krishna mentions in chapter 3 when he says that, yes, tu atmarati deva syat, for the person who's only taste is coming from the spiritual, that person has no more any duty to perform. Most of us have, if we're honest, we will admit that we're investing our attention and our affection in so many other things. So this is the point. There's another verse in the Tavan, Kurvita Karmani, in the 11th canto, in which it's also said that unless and until we awaken this level of pure ruchi for Krishna Katha, then we have to very strictly follow the injunctions of the Shastras, including these mundane injunctions. And we have to We have to cultivate we have to purify our existence in general. This is the answer to the question. Okay? Anything else? Okay. Oh, one more.
So in this purport, end of the purport, Prabhupada quotes Madhvacharya.
Yeah.
There's one verse. So in the translation, it goes that just through popularizing Hari Kirtana, the Sankirtan movement, the Brahminical culture and the Kshatriya government will automatically come back and people will be extremely happy.
Yeah.
So how to understand this? Like, we give emphasis just for Hari Kirtana, then is there any separate endeavor to preach or not?
Yeah, this is a very good point and I'm glad that you mentioned it. Did everybody hear the question? So, you can't really separate them, I would say, because in order to do Hari Kirtan, this has been the point that I'm making throughout the lecture, you actually have to purify your existence, otherwise you will not be able to chant inoffensively. We see what happens when people try to chant Hari Kirtan. I mean, in Vrindavan is a first-class example, where I live in Vrindavan. You know, we have so many devotees, they are devotees, and their conceit is that they're so advanced that they don't require any kind of rules and regulations any longer, because they're far beyond that. And we also see that they generally indulge in forbidden activities. They're taking tea, they're, you know, sometimes they even have Ras Lila on their own, and there's so many nonsense things that they do because the mentality is wrong. Mentality of wrong actually means that the honesty is not there. So, I don't think that you can separate these things. In order to chant the holy name properly, we have to follow all the anushtans that purify us gradually. This would be the logic in Srila Prabhupada's urgent instruction on this, on these topics. Now, another thing is this. For people outside of ISKCON, maybe you can argue about this point. This is manmata, you might say. For people outside of ISKCON, maybe you can make some argument that there's no need for anything other than Harinam, but it would take some pretty strong argument to convince me. But for people within ISKCON, I don't think there's any argument. Why? Because the order of the spiritual master is there. And to disobey or neglect the order of the spiritual master, that is the fourth offense against the holy name. And as long as we're chanting the holy name offensively, we cannot claim that we can take exclusive shelter of that process, because we're not following that process. Really, that's the point. The spiritual master gives instructions how to chant the holy name. Those instructions include everything that's in the Srimad Bhagavatam. These instructions are coming from Srimad Bhagavatam. They're mentioned also in Bhagavad Gita and all of our other shastras, including our smritis. So you can't separate them, and to do so artificially is a mischievous ideological creation. It's a concoction, in a word. Does that answer the question? Pretty clearly, I think. Anything else? Okay.
Suggestion required. There's a brahmachari who is doing nice service full time for many years, but he's in a situation that his father is old and his property. Now he's questioning what is his duty.
Very good. This is exactly the situation that I found myself in 2006. In Saturn, you often are associated with old people. So, I went to visit my mother early in that year in California. I was living at that time in Govardhan. You can imagine what a difference it was from Govardhan to Southern California. I had packed a suitcase with 2 weeks worth of supplies. So far so good. Shakespeare, the English poet, said, what is it? There's always a slip between the cup and the lip. So, when I got there, everything was okay for some time. Suddenly one day, my mother had a massive stroke and a heart attack, and she was out. And they took her to the hospital, and she was comatose, and the doctor said that she's going to die. It may be a few days, it may be a few hours, we don't know. But whatever you have to do with her, you better do it now, because she's not going to make it. So you can imagine, I'm going to digress for 1 minute, I know it's getting late. My mother had a lifelong policy that she instructed all of us. She said, if I ever get to the state where they have to keep me alive with so many wires and tubes and artificial, she said, don't do that. Just let me die a natural death. Okay? So after a few days, my mother came back into consciousness, and my elder sibling had to ask, Mata, the doctor says that, you know, you're not going to make it, and you said that you didn't want us to keep you alive artificially, so do we push this button or do we not push the button? You can imagine how difficult that must have been. So she said, you know, if we push this switch, then you can take maybe one or two more breaths, and that's it. Now, faced with that realization, my mother completely reversed her lifelong conviction. I said this because I wanted to point out, well, what is the magnitude of this situation? We have no idea. There's a reason we have no idea. We've forgotten what it's like, because it's too traumatic. You see? So I had to deal with this also. Now, my mother came too, she awakened, and she actually started responding very favorably. And, she was in the convalescent hospital for about 9 months. Every day, I was sitting next to her bedside for most of the day, chanting Hare Krishna and playing recordings of Srila Prabhupada. And giving her, when eventually she was able to eat again, because she was intravenous for a long time, when she had to learn how to eat again, she had to learn how to speak again, she had to learn how to walk again, she eventually figured out whether it's day or night again. I had to walk her through all of that. And I was giving her little bits of Krishna consciousness all the time. And Charanamritam I was giving her, because I knew that in any minute she can go. She had an aneurysm in the heart, an aortic aneurysm. It was 5 centimeters. That's like a big bubble in your heart, and as soon as it pops, you're gone. So I knew that she could be gone any time. Eventually, miraculously, she was released eventually from the hospital. I brought her home. But when I brought her home, she is an invalid. She can't do anything. And I'm the youngest of the siblings. They've all got their lives. Nobody was willing to put aside his life and take care of her. So I did that. And because I knew that if I leave, then, you know, no more prasadam for her. What's going to happen? They're not going to give her anything. I'm the only devotee in my family. So I did this, and it was a great, very difficult decision to take. But on principle, I considered it to be my prescribed duty. Even though it nearly killed me, and I've had chronic health issues ever since, because of just the cumulative trauma of, in addition to caregiving, which was difficult enough, there were all kinds of legal issues and family issues involved, the estate issues, and so much pressure I've never experienced in my life. But I did that. On principle, because I considered it to be my dharma. But the brahmachari that you're asking about, I'm going to assume, is in a different position than I was in. I was the only link with Krishna for my mother. And it was quite clear. And many godbrothers told me that had you not been there, she would have died when the doctors said, even astrologers told me also, she would have died when the doctors said she was going to die. But because you were there, because you were giving her Prabhupada, because you were giving her prasadam, you know, you could benefit her, and it indirectly it also benefited me, even though it was very tough. It was enriching internally, tremendously, but it was traumatic externally, tremendously. So, you know, it's a kind of decision I think you have to take on a case-by-case basis. That's the point. But just to end the story nicely, I should say that when my mother finally left this world, she was wearing Tulsi Kanti Mala. She had Vaishnava Tilak on her forehead. The last thing that she ate was Mahaprasadam offered to Sri Sri Rukmini Dwarkadhish at Mangalarati. Among the last words she said were Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And she went very peacefully with a smile on her face and in the presence of the Shalagram Shila, and after some 40 hours Akhanda Kirtan. So, and plus Pankajangri offering prayers to Lord Narasimhadev in Mayapur. So I did everything I could for her, and I'm sure she did not go down. But, you know, it took a lot of sacrifice to get to that point. There's much that I can say about this. You probably believe that, but it's already late, so we should stop now, okay? No more time for any questions. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.
Praise Mukundadatta Prabhu ki.
Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai.